on the overall corridor. If you haven't had a chance to drive through it or see it, it's definitely worth it because you'll see some tremendous amount of progress that's happening out there. First and foremost, and you know, Paul or anybody else could jump in on this too, is the construction of the Interstate 290, I-390 interchange. It has been changing pretty much on a weekly basis, or a daily basis, I should say, over the last couple weeks. Actually, last night and into this morning, we actually erected the last set of girders, or the beams, over the roadway. So this is some snapshots of what some of the work that's out there. These beams are absolutely massive and huge. It's part of the interstate-to-interstate connection. But there's been a tremendous amount of progress. I'm happy to say, as of this morning, the work out there as far as erection of the beams is now complete. Some of the other work that's happening out there, we've got some areas that where the state previously owned some right-of-way, so there's off-system bridge work that's happening right now. This is this, shot of a retaining wall that's being built for a bridge, bridge abutment wall that's going to be going up and over Patel Drive in Wooddale. I think we're very fortunate to have some of this right-of-way that is off the main line portions of Thorndale Avenue or 390. That allows us to do some work. So you're starting to see some new bridges that are being built for the ultimate expansion of the work out there. This was another major milestone. About 2 weeks ago, we wrapped up some work. This is Rowland Road, or some would call it Route 53. This is actually the former beginning of the Elgin O'Hare, or end of the Elgin O'Hare. If anybody knows, the Elgin O'Hare basically ended at a traffic signal. This was the traffic signal. I like to say was, because that traffic signal is now eliminated. So basically, we've got now some free flow movement through here, and it's been separated. Route 53, or Rowland Road, it depends where you live or what you know, does now travel. It is open for commuters to go up and over. So separating the traffic from the Elgin O'Hare, so it's now free flow movement. This is basically one of the major points of delay that has always been out there, so that was another major accomplishment. To really start the project off within really in about a year. And this is some night work that's going on at the Elmhurst Road at I-90 interchanges, off of I-90, but one of the Elgin O'Hare components. The first bridge, this is going to be a diverging diamond interchange, a unique interchange to our system. The first bridge is now complete, and the second bridge is near complete. So this is some of the work that was going on the Elmhurst Road interchange at night. This interchange is actually scheduled to be complete by the end of 2016, so delivering some early benefits out there. So there's some snapshots of construction progress and updates. What we really want to delve into is, and this is really, I'm fortunate enough to be here talking about this, but this is a plan that was developed in partnership with engineering, planning, business systems, finance, and legal. So, anybody could, provide some other insight into this too, or help answer some questions. As we all know, we've always made the decision early on that this was going to be the first all-electronic roadway on the tollway system. As I said, we're going to complete some of these, the first major segment. By the end of 2015, that is the existing Elgin O'Hare, or 390, will be complete by the end of 2015, which at some point in time, 2016, that's when the tolls on that portion will begin, from 390, from what is Lake Street, to Interstate 290. I'm going to show you some exhibits of what that's going to look like, but that toll collection to begin in 2016. So I'm going to talk about the toll specifically for this east-west section, and then the north-south section will come along later. We're still working on some of the details. So this is kind of an early snapshot of where we are with the overall toll plan. So we did perform some extensive studies with planning, with engineering, with business systems, finance and legal, to really look at what's the right approach. We have two types of tolling approaches. One is the traditional mainline approach, which is what we're used to today. It's a combination of, these are mainline toll plazas and ramp toll plazas. So you basically pay the mainline toll, and that pays your trip through the entire next mainline toll plaza with combination of ramp toll plazas. That's traditional. With the Elgin O'Hare, we have an opportunity to do something unique. We had some input from the mayoral body out there, from the counties. We have a local advisory committee, which was established, I think, probably about 3 years ago now, where it's basically a venue where we could get a lot of input about what makes sense and how to approach this. What we've always heard from the mayors and the local advisory committees and the communities at large is that what they're looking for, some form of equitable type of a tolling. And what this approach that we're applying on this 390 Elgin O'Hare is a different type with the mainline toll plaza approach. And I'm going to go break it down a little bit more. But instead of having a combination of ranked plazas and mainline toll plazas, we basically will have mainline toll plazas in between interchanges. I guess every time I touch it, it bounces. Right? Or is that my eyes? So anyway, this is the approach that we're applying here, and I'll explain how this is going to work. But it really provides some more equitable, it really ties, it allows us to, while not specifically tying the toll rate into the amount of miles traveled, it aligns much closer to how much of the system that you use. Your toll is really based on, generally, on how much of the system that you use. This type of tolling is really fits in well with what's happening here on 390. And I think this is kind of shows, as the director pointed out yesterday at our mayor's meeting, this shows the evolution of what the tollway is and how we continue to evolve as part of not just a bypass system, but very much an integral part of what happens for transportation in this entire area. The 390 corridor, it's very densely packed with interchanges, you can see. On that corridor, we've got basically one entry point every 2 point, an average of 2.9 entry and exit points every mile. So densely packed, there's a desire for lots of access into the community's economic development. And that's how this one compares. You can see how the density that we have on that particular corridor is it compares to 355, which is much more closer spaced interchanges for, again, entry and exit points to all the different major crossroads. And you can see how these other corridors, shake out. And things that we're doing on I-90, more interchanges and access points through there, that one's going to start shortening up too as we open up some more of these interchanges. So on 390, we have some very close interchange spacing, which basically what that means is that we'll have more mainline gantries, but at lower toll rates between gantries. So the way we've broken it down is there's specific toll segments, and these are represented by the different colors. The blue is, basically the toll segments are pieces in between interchanges or major points. The first segment is about 1.6 miles. The second segment is about 1.9. The third one is about 3 miles. That's in yellow. The orange segment is about 1.3 miles, 0.9 miles for red, and the purple is about 1.1 mile. So we've got, as I said, we've got 6 mainline toll gantries throughout the entire corridor, and due to some tight spacing of interchanges and right-of-way, really through here, this is called Kedar Drive, we will have, it's a ramp toll plaza that's segregated from the mainline toll plaza, so you don't actually pay twice, it's just one toll plaza, but it's a ramp plaza that feeds into this particular area. So it's a series of 6 mainline plazas and 1 ramp toll plaza within those segments. What we apply was the what was authorized was a 20 cent per mile toll rate. That was part of the overall resolution that was adopted several years ago. And what that really looks at, it's a 20 cent per mile when you factor in what the trip is throughout the entire corridor. So we have now what we're showing here is what the toll rates are within these specific segments. As you can see here, I don't have to read them all out, 30 cents, 35 cents. We've got one segment across the 3 mile stretch at 60 cents, 25 cents you either get on here or pay at the main line, and 20 cents. So to travel the entire 10.5 mile corridor, it's $1.90, which averages out to, I believe it's 18 cents a mile, let me make sure. It averages out to 18 cents per mile for the entire through trip, should you begin your trip here at Lake Street and terminate at the eastern terminus of the project. So when you break it all out, it's $1.90 for the entire trip. The western segment for the 6.8 mile trip from here back is $1.25, which is about 18 cents a mile also. And then for the eastern section, that's 3.7 miles, 65 cents. Which comes out to about 17.5 cents a mile. I want to call out something specifically here, and it's in the appendix. Near the system interchange of Interstate 290, we've been working with IDOT very closely on some of the ramps, and some of the movements were that through this area, through the system interchange, there are untold movements because you're never technically on the Elgin O'Hare itself. IDOT will continue to own some of the ramps at the interchange. They will also maintain a frontage road system through this area, so you're never technically on the Elgin O'Hare. So there are some movements within this section that are untold, but when you come onto the main line, you do ultimately get a toll. So we've been working on this toll plan, as I said, for a little while. It's broadly supported by the mayors and the county. We heard it again yesterday. They like the plan because they feel it is equitable. It really does tie in, it's more closely aligned to how much of what you pay is more closely aligned to how much of the road you actually drive on. But as you saw, the tolls will be collected more frequently in these spacings, but at lower rates. So what we believe this will do is encourage both the long and short distance trips, so people will be making decisions of where they want to go based on where the access is, not necessarily how much they're going to be paying. So again, more equity as far as that goes, better for economic development. As I said, you'll start seeing, more tolls for the across the corridor at lower rates. So that's basically some of that. So how do we decide to make these decisions? If you may recall, I'm going to say about a year and a half or so ago, we went out and we did a lot of survey work. We sent out, I believe it was about 30,000 survey cards within the corridor. We had about a 10% response rate on those surveys, which we were very happy with. Anything more than 4% is terrific, so we got about a 10% rate. And what we found is that today, there are already 90% of the drivers along this corridor within this area who already have an I-pass, so that's a tremendous amount already. And of those who responded to the surveys, 25% of those without an I-pass said they would get one when the road opens up. So again, we're very confident and have high hopes for the I-pass utilization along this corridor. We're still obviously going to have to work on some business rules over the coming year about how those without an I-pass will be paying. This will be, again, unique to us. Some things that we considered is an online and mail by post payment, which we have right now, online missed toll search, and some potential temporary pass to use the system. So this is going to be some of the work that's going to be happening over the next year plus prior to the opening of the tolls.
And just to make clear, those rates are the I-pass rates.
Yes, exactly. Those are
I-pass rates.
Yes, electronic toll collection rates. That's what those rates that here represent and reflect. Just the passenger car I-pass or easy pass rate. Thank you.
And is the anticipated non-I-pass rate basically what we have on the rest of the system, which is?
That's what we're contemplating, yes. I mean, but now again, that's part of the business rules. That's what we have to figure out. What's the right way, because now how it's going to be different for this court, because you just don't have that cash option anywhere else. The authorization, the resolution does allow for basically a comparable to that, the way that it's going with the non-I-pass rate. So some of the next steps, we are going to continue with some of our outreach with the local advisory committee meetings and our outreach to the general public, starting to educate people about this toll plan. We've been asked questions over the year about this. We'll continue to develop the north-south corridor, the bypass tolling plan. And we'll have to start working really roll up the sleeves now, looking at the business rules that's going to guide the toll notification violation structure for this entire system, with the anticipation that we'll be presenting the business rules to this tollway board or to the committee sometime in mid-2015. So that's it. If you have any questions.
Can you give us a little flavor for how these local meetings go, the advisory board meetings and the meetings with the mayors?
Sure. Yesterday's meeting, we had basically all communities were represented. We do these, like I said, on a quarterly basis, or semi-annual quarterly basis, is more of a gap. By and large, the plan and everything that we've developed was takes into account a lot of the feedback. We wanted to make sure that we had good buy-in and support for what we were implementing here.
We actually previewed kind of at a policy level, different tolling scenarios. Uh-huh. So, one of the questions, from the local mayors was, there are people who use this or portions of this corridor currently for shorter distance trips. And, on other parts and older parts of the tollway system, you can pay a disproportionately high dollar amount for a short trip and you get a lower cost per mile for a longer trip. So they wanted to see if there was a way for us to manage that. And also I think there was a concern about even the appearance of, they didn't want people to feel that they were paying an extra cost or in any way penalized for getting off at a local interchange because it's supposed to be economic development. So that was a very high policy level of discussion we had with them and then briefed the board, I think it was the customer service committee about some time back, that was the approach that we were being told to take and was that acceptable. So that was, I think, some good feedback of this iterative process of how we turn this 20 cents a mile into an actual toll rates as you apply it on the corridor. So Rocco and his team have done such a great job of coordinating those meetings and getting that input, and I think it's just made the whole process move much more seamlessly. I know one of the things that we're working with now with them are some kind of aesthetic enhancements on the corridor and treatments that they'd like to see, and if there are opportunities for them to partner and bring dollars to the table to upgrade some of the aesthetic treatments on the interchanges or other places on the corridor, we're working with them on that as well. So that's been a great collaboration, too.
Really, these local advisory committees, the way I like to, it's basically we use these members of the local advisory committee who are appointed by each municipality. They serve basically as a conduit between Tollway, our staff, our team, and the community at large. They're the ones who have their ear to the ground of what the issues are. So at every meeting that we meet with the mayors and with the local advisory group, What are you hearing in construction? What's working? What's not working? What kind of impacts are you seeing out there? What can we do to improve communications or maintenance of traffic or flow through an area? That's always kind of the opening. What are we hearing? There is a lot of talk about aesthetics, which is kind of interesting. For years, we talked about how we need to get the project built. Now we're talking about what it's going to look like when it's done. So as a planner, we like that. But generally, it's just a lot of dialogue. Everything from Itasca is back there. We've had a lot of dialogue with communities to work through the issues that are presented to us, tolling and otherwise in construction. So it's a major communication effort, a two-way communication effort at all these meetings.
Well, that's very useful because, I think the big context of this is when Governor Quinn put together the advisory committee on this, there was a lot of concern about where the interchanges would be, and when they went through the cost-cutting exercise, the question of how many interchanges there would be, and then now we've got something that's a little bit of a departure from the way we usually design the interchanges and the tolling, and want to be sure that
I don't know if it's so much of a departure from the way we design the interchanges, but certainly this is a unique way
of
handling
the
tolling,
the distance between interchanges, which was one of the questions at the beginning.
Yeah.
More
local access.
I think it's important that everybody understand the tie-in to economic development and the impact of that. Because they're going to have to explain it to the people who are actually using the system.
The more they know, they can explain to people, the better off from a staffing perspective we are. People can. It's not just us having to talk to the masses. It's the pipeline, it's the conduit to the local community.
And probably instructive in terms of 53-120 to see how this process plays out, because there's are going to have to face the similar kinds of questions and issues as they go forward.
We occasionally present at the local board meetings as well. I know we've been to Itasca a few times. We've been to Roselle. We've been, I believe, to Hanover Park. We've been to Bentonville. We represented Bentonville maybe a few weeks back. So there's a lot. Again, it's trying to get this information. It's a two-way line of communication.
That's great, because I know Governor Quinn was really concerned at the beginning with the tollway. Do this in a cooperative way with the local communities and came off listening rather than telling. Thank you.
that's all I have.
Any questions from board members on this? Okay, and what do we think the timing is on coming back to the board on any of this?
I'm not, for the cash rates, it will be sometime next year, and hopefully, you know, with the new back office and electronic toll collection system, a lot of new opportunities will exist on how we kind of handle post-pay and handle people not paying with the transponder. So we'd like to kind of see how that system develops, and since tolling, you know, won't be going into place here until 2016, right? We do have a little bit of time between that back office system going online and making some decisions about you almost whether to call them cash paying or not, post pay or alternate pay, not transponder payments.
Okay, and that will come back to the customer service planning committee first, I assume, for discussion.
Okay. I think depending on the timing, I think that would be our preference.
Okay, thank you.
Good, so that's all I have.
Okay, well then we'll turn to the consent agenda, unless there are any questions or other comments on this. And I always start by saying that the consent agenda reflects items that have been reviewed in detail at the committee level. So although we go through them very quickly, they've had a lot of scrutiny from the board members, from the staff, and discussion. In finance, we have four items. I believe we have recusals on 2 and 3. So why don't we take one?
We need discussion on item 4,
so okay.
We didn't take it up the committee.
Good, thank you. So we'll do, why don't we do 1, and then with the same recusal for Director Reddick on both 2 and 3, so we'll take those together, and then we can talk about 4. Is that okay? Okay, may I hear a motion on the first one?
Motion approved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? I think no recusals, second one and the third one together. May I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We have a recusal from Director Reddick, and no abstentions on that. Okay, why don't we take number 4 then?
Thank you, Chair. Item 4 is an amendment to a previous resolution that the board had approved authorizing assignments of underwriters for the upcoming refinancing or refunding transaction that was mentioned earlier this morning. As you recall, our goal in the use of the pool, or our protocol in terms of the use of the pool, is to attempt to use each firm an equal number of times and an equal compensation as possible. Our intent was to include George K. Baum on this transaction. Unfortunately, due to a clerical error, we carried over Raymond James from the prior assignment. We're seeking your approval to correct that assignment and to assign George K. Baum to this transaction as opposed to Raymond James.
Okay. Any questions on that? Then may I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? No? Okay. Thank you. We'll turn to procurement. We have 3 items there. I don't see any refusals on that. And is there anything that we need to comment on? Nope. Okay. So may I hear a motion on 1 through 3 on procurement, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? No recusals, no abstentions. Those pass. Business systems. I have 1 item, the state use program that we talked about. Any questions or comments on that one? May I hear a motion then?
Move to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? No? Okay. Engineering. I know there's some we need to talk about, but I don't have those marked. I'm sorry.
Items 5 and 6 need to be discussed here.
Okay. So why don't we take 1 through 4? I don't see any recusals on those either. Okay. May I hear a motion? 1 through 4. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? No recusals or abstentions? And why don't we turn to 5?
First of all, I wanted to say a few words about our combination bid strategy. So we have 2 contracts on the board's agenda today. where we utilized that combo bid strategy that I presented to the board earlier, and we did see real savings. We opened up the second set, I believe, a couple days ago. Once again, we're seeing good competition. I think we really, I appreciate the strategy that we're using here. The first set was on the east end, second set was on the west end. We got two different contractors. There's going to be strong competition for the third set, which is between those two. And also there were two bidders in both situations that didn't get anything yet. So I think we've created a really good position for the tollway to get a lot of good, strong competition on this last set. So I think it's working. I think it does. I appreciate your comments earlier, Chair, about the program, capital program. The capital program, I feel its health is really strong right now. I like seeing those negative variances, as long as all the major milestones are being delivered. And that's what we're doing. These major projects are getting done. We're getting out of people's way. We're returning the road to the motorists. Place a high priority on that. We are seeing good bid savings right now. We are not experiencing inflation like we planned, so that's a good thing. But the program's long, so it's good to have these build up some savings now.
So did you find that this new bidding process added a lot of time and expense in terms of your managing the process? I mean, engineering and managing the process?
So it did add time, and it did take extra effort, but I think it's proven to be well worth it.
And is that something that over time, as you get more used to it, it will work in a less time-consuming way? Was it probably just because it was the first time?
Yeah, well, definitely now. We developed a process. We coordinated with legal, our procurement folks. You know, we know this is what we can do. So once that gets established, it's always going to be easier the next time. If we see the conditions and feel that's the right choice for us to proceed that way.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, you said there has been some savings with that model. Have you been able to quantify that, or does it just...
$600,000 on the first two is what we saved. So that's real.
So I was always told that engineers were not flexible, but this demonstrates that myth is shattered.
Problem solvers. Engineers are problem solvers.
Good.
And we are cultivating a culture of figuring out how to do it rather than just saying no.
Good. So talk to some lawyers that I know.
Nobody here.
Thank you. Happy people I'm related to.
Nothing can go by without a lawyer joke of some type. No opportunity should be passed up.
All right, so we informed the FAO committee that we were still working on negotiating these two professional service contracts, which are items 5 and 6 on engineering's agenda. And this first one, item 5, we're very happy to bring to the board because this will be the construction manager for those two construction combo bid jobs that I just was talking about. So item 5 is a professional service contract for construction management associated with roadway, canyon wall, and bridge reconstruction widening. It's on the eastern portion of the Jane Addams. It's from Oakton Street to east of Lee Street. It's about a 3.3-mile section. Award is recommended to Burns & McDonald in the amount of $14,986,955.04. They're going to provide construction management and inspection services for items 3 and 4 on today's agenda. And they're also going to do a construction management contract in that same section for 2016. They have a Mentor Protege agreement with Land Surveying Services. Eskenazi and Farrell is a new subconsultant that they're bringing on board, first time working for the tollway. And they are committing to exceed our DV goal for this contract and meet the veterans participation goal. So I will note there is a variance between the budgeted amount for this contract and what we finalized as our negotiations, and I wanted to give you a little background on that. We establish our budgets pretty far in advance, and we do it just by the rule of thumb. We generally say 7.5% of the construction costs, even though our design and contract documents are nowhere near complete yet. And we do have to adjust them, and our policy is that we don't adjust them before we go to the board. We'd rather just explain it to the board why it is changing. And this one, I will say, they're going to do 3 contracts. They are going to do 6 bridges, within these three contracts, and the bridges always require additional CM services because you need bodies at each one of them, and work is going to be going on at all of them at the same time. And they have three interchanges within this section. So this doesn't meet our, you know, standard criteria for the budget goal. And that's the primary explanation. We negotiate all of our professional service contracts, and they did start out a lot higher than where we got them at right now. But we feel comfortable that they're going to be able to provide the services that we need on this contract. We consider the size of the contract, the location of the contract, the complexity of the contract are some of the criteria that go into the duration of the contract.
Which sub is also going to provide CM services and where on 990?
So we do list out all the subs on the item summary that are being carried by Burns and McDonald within this contract, and there's quite a few of them there.
So Ardmore, Sterling?
Ardmore, DB Sterling, Descoto, Eskenazi and Farrell, Furman Engineering, Land Surveying Services.
But those four at the top are going to be one of your CMs on the bridge.
No, well, they're all going to be providing.
As a lead, though? Any of them going to be a lead?
No.
Okay.
The Mentor Protege, well, I shouldn't say that. The Mentor Protege, I'm not sure exactly what the Mentor Protege arrangement was, but part of that Mentor Protege program is to try to help these guys progress, so they may be giving us a significant portion to oversee.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a great list. I mean, you've got a lot of different companies on there.
So that's item five. Item six is a professional service contract for construction management associated with roadway retaining wall and bridge reconstruction and widening on Arlington Heights Road to east of Oakton Street. This is a 2.6-mile section. Award is recommended for the joint venture of Parsons Brinkerhoff and GSG Consultants. GSG is an MBE firm. And also GSG Materials Testing, who is an MBE firm. The amount of this contract is $7,239,470.82. They have a vendor protege agreement with Comprehensive Construction Consulting and also Sanchez and Associates. The DMBE firm Comprehensive Construction Consulting and veteran-known firm GEO Bancroft Engineering are going to serve on the tollways work for the first time. They're committing to meet and exceed our DB goal on this contract, and they're also meeting our veterans participation goal. These were the first professional service contracts that have been brought to the board that have contained this veterans goal in it, and I was very happy with the response from the consulting community, as I believe overall within our selections for PSB 14, 1, and 2, we're bringing nine new veteran firms to the tollways work.
It looks like you had a lot of statements of interest on this.
There's a healthy amount of competition on all of our professional service contracts.
Good.
So I did, you know, talk about that item five and what that contains. So this item, there's only two contracts that they're managing for us versus the three. They only have two bridges in this section versus the six in the other one. And there's only one interchange in this section versus the three that are included in the other one. So you see that, you know, those are the things that are determining the overall dollar value. We try very hard, and usually we end up anywhere between 7% and, well, actually 6.5 and 11% of the construction dollars. That's where we'd like to be at. And this one is there, and so is item five.
And this award basically is under the budget, which you projected. So.
Yes. Okay.
Any questions on either of these two? Okay. I understand eight is going to be deferred, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So if it's the pleasure of the board, what I would do is take 5, 6, and 7 and then 9 through 19.
We need to present item 13.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Okay. My agenda isn't. So we'll take 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12. How's that?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
No recusals, no abstentions. That passes. Thank you. We'll take 13.
So I did also mention at the FAO committee that we may be bringing a change order or extra work order or two to the board to address what we at that time thought would be proactive measures for the impact that the winter's having on some of the work as we finish up. And it's turning out to be not so much proactive now as it's freezing outside, but it's just in time. This item 13 is a change order extra work order requesting funding in the amount of $240,433.75. It's on contract 5683. It's with Donna Bay Construction Company. They're working on the Higgins Road Bridge over I-90. They have some deck pours that they need to do, and what this is going to allow us to do is pay for protecting or insulating the concrete. The specs allow us to do concrete work in the wintertime, as long as you can protect it when the temperatures drop below 45 degrees. So the protection basically consists of blankets or heaters that they'll employ or heating coils that they'll put on the concrete for the time that it's curing, which is usually a 7-day period. There were some delays on this contract. We were working through some of the utility conflicts. We had to work out a plan with NICOR to drive the piles next to their pipes, so that kind of pushed some of the work further into the winter time. We want to keep this project moving, though, and minimize the overall impact of that delay on the follow-up work, the mainline work, which will be significant and starting next year. So this measure is recommended by engineering. It'll only be used to the extent that it's necessary, but I'm telling you, it's with the temperatures out there, most likely they're going to be using it.
So this, I just don't understand the process. This presupposes that they're going to, when it's cold, they're going to winterize, and then it will, we hope, warm up for some period of time during the winter, and then they'll continue work on this? Or is this winterization now for the rest of the season?
It's for the rest of the season.
Okay.
I mean, if we had been able to do these deck pours earlier in the year, we wouldn't need it. But the specs do allow for doing winterization.
Okay.
If you have to pour concrete when the temperatures drop below 45 degrees. We don't include those funds in the contract to begin with.
I don't know.
So that's why I'm asking for this extra authorization.
Okay.
So you're going to meet their commitment to the DBE?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions on this one? Great. So we can take 13 through 19 now? Okay, may I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any recusals? Any abstentions? No? Okay, thank you very much. Is there any unfinished business? Any new business? May I hear a motion to go into executive session, please?
You should do that motion pursuant to exceptions in the Illinois Open Meetings Act, Section 2C1, to discuss personnel items of the tolling. 2C2 to discuss collective bargaining matters, 2C7 to discuss the sale of tollway securities, and 2C11 to discuss litigation matters.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Take a 10-minute break, 15-minute break?
I say, do we think we need 10 or 15 minutes?
10 minutes. Okay, so we'll be back approximately 20 hours. Everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you very much.